It is Thursday afternoon when KRVS presents From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bourque, reading works by writers from or inspired by Louisiana.
Here are the last four notes in J. Bruce Fuller's book of poems, Notes to a Husband, published by Imaginary Friend Press. J. Bruce Fuller is a PhD student in the writing program in the English department here at UL Lafayette. Note, for the two we leave behind, they should know about the smiles cast above their heads, the just fine dance we did around the house, the holding hands on movie night. They should know how we tried, how silent it was in the nights of our bed. Note, though there will be no more ring around the roses, no nights under the pecan trees, no feet touching softly under cool sheets, I will not dwell on what we've lost. Note, what I meant to say was, for all the shortfalls, for all the nasty letters, for the attorneys, for catching you wishing that I was someone else, I'm glad to have had you. What I said was in anger. Forgive me. Note. There will be no more notes. What's left to say should not be said in anger. Poems by J. Bruce Fuller, Notes to a Husband.
Join KRVS each Thursday afternoon for From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bourque. Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Mariusz Smoly, conductor of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, and William Plummer, who is director of choral activities here at UL Lafayette, here to talk about the concert tomorrow evening at the Cathedral of St. John called Water Music. And it really is sort of the culmination of your theme this year, Mariusz, which has been water, one of the elements. And so there have been interesting elements and pieces throughout the year in the different concerts that have to do with water. And this one is actually called Water Music. Very special because it will be at the cathedral, and it does involve these two great choruses from UL Lafayette, directed by William Plummer. So maybe start off talking about that whole idea of water and how choose that as a theme for musical concerts, Mariusz.
Well, I think the composers are people just like us, you know. Mm. They breathe, they eat, they dance, they laugh, they cry. And they get inspiration from the same elements and circumstances we all do. It may be another person, maybe beauty of nature, and sometimes those inspirations are being drawn from very basic elements such as, you know, river, sea, water, fire. So it wasn't very difficult to build this season's program around works that are very closely connected or inspired by the element of water. We had a symphonic poem by Czech composer Bedřich Smetana called Moldau, which is the main river that runs through Czech Republic. At the first concert, many other works in between, and the last symphonic concert, last orchestral concert, ends with George Frederick Handel's great German Baroque composer, who spent most of his life in actually London or around London, his composition called Water Music. In case of Smetana, the very first piece we presented, the water could be almost heard in the way the instruments were being used, mm-hmm. portraying the little stream that becomes a big, powerful river towards the end. The connection in the case of Handel work is a little bit more superficial, but quite important. This was, I believe, actually part of one of the very, very first Pabst concert that ever happened. There was a concert to please a large public, was to please the king, George V, and his court. And the king was traveling on the Thames River around London, needed some entertainment. So for that special occasion, for this trip, when the king was visiting a different constituency along the river, Handel wrote this piece, which is basically a suite of popular dances and airs at that time. And it was premiered on the big barges that were floating around the king's barge, and apparently, according to some stories, the king loved the piece so much that they played it four or five times during one evening. This piece was immediately very popular among the public in England, and later on the fame spread throughout the Europe. Mm-hmm. And now we have this famous water music that connects those two mm-hmm. elements, music and water, on a slightly different level.
Have you ever performed it on a barge or on a floating platform?
You know, actually I did.
Mm-hmm. Did it feel different?
It's more dangerous because it don't feel very steady. Sometimes you have a little, even a little wave can affect the sound of a trumpet, for example. You know,
playing
all instruments requires a lot of precision, but especially if you play a high pitched trumpet, it's just minimal movement and motion. It changes the pitch drastically, and instead of very pleasant sound, you may get some squeaks coming up out of the instrument. But
or a little roll in your baton dips one way, and
that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter so much as the trumpets.
Right.
So we will be hearing this on solid land in the cathedral of St. John,
right.
But feeling all that depth of history behind that,
right.
The water music. We are talking about the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra's concert that will take place tomorrow evening, 7:30, in the Cathedral of St. John. The title of the concert is Water Music, and you start off with the Handel. And then you have some more instrumental pieces. Maybe we can talk about those and then talk with William about the choral pieces.
There are two more instrumental pieces. One of them is from the same period as Water Music, Baroque composer Antonio Vivaldi from Italy, from Venice, is very well known for writing a variety of different concertos for many different instruments. He also wrote probably the first ever concerto for orchestra. We know about the most famous concerto orchestra by Béla Bartók. There were a few others before him, but the very first one is by Vivaldi, and this is actually his largest piece in terms of instrumental forces required. Most of his music is written just for a small instrument, a string ensemble, plus one or two woodwind instruments. In this case, we have about 8 woodwinds, which is huge for Vivaldi, and a strong component of strings. And what's interesting that every instrument gets a little solo, which really makes it a true first concerto for orchestra. Mm-hmm. He wrote this piece for a court in Dresden in Germany, and because this orchestra apparently had a lot of those instruments, and the local royalty would like to have a piece that would feature all of those instruments, Vivaldi very happily followed the orders and wrote a really beautiful little concerto for orchestra. It's just 10 minutes. It's a typical Baroque concerto, but instead of having one or two solo instruments, we have 7 or 8.
Entire orchestra.
Fascinating little Baroque piece. Another work on our program is much less known. It comes from an Estonian composer by the name of Arvo Pärt. He's very, very famous in Europe. He's one of this kind of elite group of minimalists that were very active. He's still active in the last two, three decades. And just to remind our audience, a minimalistic composer is somebody who takes a very small musical cell, whether it's a rhythmic cell or melodic cell, and uses it in many different ways and builds entire musical structure around one simple musical idea. His music tends to be very slow often, relaxing, one may say, sort of inspiring mm-hmm. a meditation, almost with a piece of mysticism mm-hmm. in it. He's himself very interesting, kind of mystic, mm-hmm. physical person, mm-hmm. Almost. And I have chosen this piece for the thematic reasons. I really feel that there's a water in this music. And I tell you why. It's written just for strings and one single percussion player that plays claves. Those are two wooden sticks that you hit together. And when you do that a certain way, it reminds me very strongly of the sound that a drop of water makes when hitting a hard surface. And so the piece starts with those drops of water, and then the music sort of paints, in my mind, this is my personal feeling, that the music paints a picture of a ice sculpture or a bank of a lake or bank of a river during the winter. And the way that the piece is being written, I have a feeling that we do see that ice sculpture from a distance or maybe through a fog, and then the fog goes up and the picture crystallizes, or maybe we are on a boat and we're coming closer and we see the same structure in a better way. And then maybe our boat is our yacht, because the music is very quiet. So there is no room for any engines, any diesel. the yacht, by the power of the wind, goes away, and this structure again becomes a little bit more foggy. And still we're hearing this water dripping in between. For me, it's a very, very poignant, very strong impression. And I knew this piece for a long time because it's a very popular composition in Europe, one of the most popular compositions Arvo Pärt wrote. It's so popular that about five or six different versions for different sets of instruments. There's a solo violin piano version, there's a version actually for voices and instruments, but the original version is for strings and one percussion instrument. So I thought that we can create a very interesting contrast between old music and new music, and introduce the element of water from slightly different angle.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, having it in the cathedral, which already gives a kind of a meditative feeling,
it does.
And to be listening to that piece in the cathedral.
I think it will be a perfect location, perfect acoustical setup to perform
now,
it.
You mentioned that Arvo Pärt is part of a group of minimalists. Can you mention a few other names, perhaps, that people might be able to?
Oh, certainly. Polish composer Górecki is one of them. John Taverner, a British composer. And most of this music is very meditative, very relaxing. And interestingly enough, this part of so-called classical music actually made very strong inroads into popular music. I know Górecki came to fame after his Third Symphony that was written many, many years ago, suddenly was played on one of the English-British stations that played at this time sounds of the sea, sounds of the birds, some electronic music by Al Jarreau and those people. And when his symphony was played, suddenly people felt it really belongs to this new age meditative type of sounds, and it became widely popular.
Yeah, it definitely did here in the States through public radio stations.
Right.
We played them a lot when they came out as well. So I know our listeners are familiar with Arvo Pärt, and this would be a wonderful opportunity for them to hear it performed live. Mm-hmm. If you are just tuning in, we're talking about the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra's upcoming concert tomorrow evening, 7:30 at the Cathedral of St. John in Lafayette. My guests are Mariusz Smoly, conductor of the symphony, and William Plummer, who is director of choral activities here at UL Lafayette. So you all partnered with UL and their choral program. Tell us about how that came about, Mariusz.
You know, in principle, it's very important for our organization to collaborate with other important member of our artistic community in Lafayette, and we did collaborate almost everybody here who was interested in those type of collaborations. So we are delighted that this year we can work again with the choruses from UL. I think we worked together first time with William on Vivaldi's Gloria last year, also performed in the cathedral. This collaboration was very warmly embraced by our community, so I'm really happy that we can continue this collaboration. And we already have plans for the next year, actually.
Well, we'll look forward to that. But let's talk about these two pieces that you are collaborating on, William. You have two groups. You've got the chorale and the chamber singers. Tell us just a bit about those two groups.
Okay, the UL chorale is about close to 70 members strong. The members come from all walks of life, not just music majors, but, you know, chemical engineering, you know, theater, dance, you know, just a mix of students across the spectrum here at UL. The chamber singers likewise have many different members from different educational pursuits, and they are 22 members strong.
And what are the two pieces that they'll be performing?
The UL Chorale will be performing a piece called Dark Night of the Soul, which is by contemporary composer Ola Yelo. And the piece uses a text from a 16th century mystic called St. John of the Cross. The piece actually pairs quite well with the Arvo Pärt piece, but in a totally different way. Here we have mysticism, but it's coming from a different place, and it's minimalistic in its style as well, but in a very, very different way from the Arvo Pärt piece. The poem is about Dark Night of the Soul, is about the soul's journey to be with God, ultimately, and it's about a journey through adversity and finally coming to peace in the end. So it's just a quite a profound text on many levels, and the chorus at times creates this sense of adversity and at times this sense of peace. So it's quite a lovely piece.
And again, a great choice to be performed in the cathedral. And Mariusz, what do you, this piece, how have you encountered this piece before? Is this the first time?
And actually, William introduced me to this piece, and we are discussing different options for the repertoire, and that really stuck up for me as something not just a great composition in itself, but something that will complement all the other works on the program and in the perfect way.
Right, and especially, as he says, with the Pärt, sort of very minimal, mystic, but from very different centuries.
And also, we are still in the period of Lent, and it really, I mean, for me, in addition to everything you said about the text, is the dark night, maybe the night after Jesus Christ being crucified, and you're waiting for the conclusion, and I think there's a good connection here, and also connection with the times.
Absolutely,
the good meditation. Churches going through currently.
Well, and then the piece, the cantata by Bach, which is quite a beautiful piece as well. What did you choose that, William, for your?
Yes.
Okay. What do you tell us about that piece?
You know, the BWV 191 is a beautiful piece of music. It was written around 1745 in Leipzig, and Bach was possibly writing this to commemorate the ending of the Second Silesian War. So it comes from a great place in terms of celebrating peace in a very open and unabashed way. And the thing that really strikes me about this music is how it all hangs together in spite of how complex it is. That there's almost a sense that Bach is designing something that's worthy of God because of how complex it is and how much it works all together. So this you're caught up in this swirling polyphony, all these different melodies going, these trumpets kind of blazing away, and timpani and strings, and it's really it's just an expression of joy, of overwhelming joy. This music is. An interesting side note is that Bach used this music. This music came previously from a mass. And then he used it for this cantata, which is the only Latin cantata that he wrote. And then again, he used the music, sort of, we would maybe call it recycling, but it was a matter of regarding the music highly enough to invest it in another project. And so he used it in the B minor Mass, which is arguably one of the greatest works ever written. So he regarded this music quite highly, and this work is not often performed. So it's a great honor to be able to do this here, and especially in such a beautiful sacred space.
That sounds like we have so many reasons to go to this concert. So many wonderful opportunities to hear great composers and great pieces of music, and also this collaboration between the orchestra and the chorale and the chamber singers at UL Lafayette. Tell us about the makeup of the orchestra. Will it be more of a chamber orchestra at the cathedral, Mariusz?
I would say slightly enlarged, typical Baroque orchestra. Most of the repertoire comes from the Baroque, so we have a Baroque size strings, about 13 or 16 of them. But because of the unique approach that Vivaldi, another Baroque composer, had to writing this concerto for orchestra, I have a complement of about 7 woodwinds. And also we're adding trumpets for the joyous Bach cantata. So altogether, a very strong instrumental ensemble, close to 30, between 26 and 30.
And I think you all mentioned that you actually have a special Renaissance Baroque trumpet that
historical Baroque trumpet. Mm-hmm. You know, each instrument throughout the history of music went through many different renovations and modernizations. What is important when you perform a work, especially including certain number of voices, you want to balance the sound in the proper way. The modern trumpets seem to be much more direct and simply louder. And in order to make sure that you actually can hear the chorus, you use the sounds of the Baroque trumpets, which, by the way, are more difficult to play than the modern trumpets.
So you have someone practicing very hard right now.
We have some specialists, some of them coming from Baton Rouge to help us with that. But it will be interesting sound.
Well, another great reason to attend the concert tomorrow evening. How do people get tickets? Since it's at the cathedral, the seating is not the same as it would be.
Right, it's an open seating. We're going to have reserved sections for our subscribers and special donors. It's an open seating. The tickets can be purchased through our website, acadianasymphony.org. The tickets are selling very well, so when you just come and would like to buy tickets at the door, they may not be available.
So really call ahead.
So please try to get them as soon as possible.
All right. Well, if you're listening right now and the music just sounds fabulous, you may want to call the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, find out more about tickets now and not wait till you get to the door. Again, the concert is called Water Music. This is the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra performing along with the UL Lafayette Chorale and Chamber Singers, directed by my guest William Plummer. They will continue in their collaborations with the orchestra, a great opportunity for the students and for the community to hear the talent of these young singers as well with the orchestra. Thank you both. It has been a busy season for the orchestra, I know. You had a chamber concert last Sunday with a guitar player. I heard he was wonderful. And then, of course, the Mahler that so many people just thrilled to. So wonderful season for the orchestra, and it continues as well. What's coming up next, Mariusz?
Well, we have one more chamber concert end of May that will feature our string quartet and guest pianist Jose Fegali, who is a former winner of the Van Cliveren competition in Fort Worth, Texas. Phenomenal pianist. We're very lucky to have him. He will present half recital, including some of Chopin works and famous Moonlight Sonata by Ludwig van Beethoven. And in the second half of the program, he will join our principal string players in the famous Trout Quintet, another little touch of watery music. Schubert wrote this quintet based on his well-known song. And that will conclude both our chamber series and the entire season.
And then we'll have you back to talk about the upcoming season, which is already planned. And I know people are quite excited about
that. Yes, the brochures are out. The main theme will be fire. We're continuing with the explorations of different elements and their connection with the music in general and the symphonic music in particular. Another exciting six symphonic concert, four chamber concerts.
Well, we'll look forward to the fiery repertoire when you come back to tell us about it. Thank you both, Mariusz Smoly and William Plummer, talking about the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra's concert tomorrow night, the Cathedral of St. John. Tickets available now by calling the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra's office or going online. Thank you.